Ladies and gentlemen, NNBs, that's right. It is time. Ring the bell, god dang it. It is time for another edition of the Power Bombcast. I'm your host this time around, Jan Achola. Joining me, we have, is this enough folks for a War Games crew? This is, right?
Oh, yeah. Would it be like us against Kinda Funny?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We start with Kinda Funny, and then we're taking everyone else down.
Greg Miller is weak to guitars, so just remember that.
Whoever the heels are, though, they have to win the coin toss, right? Like, that's the rule.
Mike, we're the heels. What are you talking about?
Well, we are punching down.
Yeah, we want to be here. Yeah, that.
We are punching down now, that's right.
Our first entrant into War Games, Dan Reichert.
Match beyond, baby.
How's it going?
It's going great. We have the second man coming in immediately afterwards, Jeff Grubb.
I'd like to announce I'm not suing Tony Khan. I'm not going to do it. All right. Wow. I'm moving on with my career.
It's very big of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're still thinking about litigation. Nikki Grayson.
I love a protracted court battle. So I am suing Tony Khan.
And the most protracted of our team.
Prolapsed litigation.
Well, I'm sorry.
Major Mitch. Mike Minotti.
Major Mitch. Major Mitch!
Okay, were you guys like talking about me in your meeting or something? Why are you all calling me Major Mitch?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's alliteration, you know?
It's right there.
We just made a good nickname.
We were thinking of like, oh, Mitch is such a bad Mitch, but then we want alliteration.
Yeah.
So, Major Mitch.
Oh, unrelated. Right. Mitch, you're going to start having some packages show up at your house in the next few days.
Don't open them yet.
Yeah, if you see anything that says Major Mitch, don't open it yet.
But that's how you know they're for you.
Wait!
They'll have your...
What war game am I playing?
No, wrestling.
No, it's unrelated, I said.
We're talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up bad war games. Oh, no, what am I playing? Oh, you're making me play that. What? You're making me play that shitty war game you always talk about. What the hell is that?
Wait, who's that on your balcony?
What the hell is happening?
Oh my god. I'm so glad.
I'm having a stroke. Yeah. Why is there two Dans?
There's not two Dans, Major Mark.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the hell is happening?
This is going to be perfect for the audio listeners.
Right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Sorry.
Wow. I can't, listen, just go watch the video.
I think, did we just get prestiged?
I think we just got prestige.
What did the sign say?
I don't think there's anything out.
I got guys. That's the landscaper site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I haven't seen Bonk in a while. Oh, that's not Bonk.
No, that guy's just working on the siding.
Right.
there's less like pine needles and stuff out there. I think he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
He's I'll tip him.
Me and Mike's small Ohio minds cannot handle this. We have to move on.
Yes.
We're like, this is magic.
Both of you that work in streaming video or video editing is a big thing.
I couldn't do that. I would never do that much work. But it just happened for no reason in the middle of a sentence. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, you know, a lot has happened since the last time we convened together to chat about wrestling. Nikki, happy to have you here, my friend.
Happy to be here.
There's a lot that's happened in news before we get to like the show breakdown. And since like three major pay-per-view or two major pay-per-views, one premium live event has happened.
We'll
breeze through the card and maybe we'll hang out and talk about some of the matches we felt stronger about. But a couple of news things that have happened in the wider world of wrestling. Unfortunately, the passing of two legends, Terry Funk and Wyndham Rotunda, better known as Bray Wyatt. This one's especially stung. Funk stung because he just always felt like one of those legends that would literally never, ever retire. But then Wyndham Rotunda.
He also felt like he lived like 30 years longer than any human should have lived with the life he had. He lived a full life for sure.
Yeah. Both absolute legends. Don't have much to say other than like both fantastic performers. The world is at a huge, huge loss without either of them. I'm not tearing up because of that. I am emotional about it, but just because moisturizer got in my eye. But man, I spent like a solid like 2-3 hours after hearing about Bray Wyatt's passing, just watching promos, and it's like, man, this dude could talk for days.
He was so good at that.
Yeah. And he was given nothing in terms of, you know, creative. Like, they didn't ever go anywhere with him. That wasn't his fault. But he always took whatever he was given. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna eat up every piece of this and make you notice me. Yeah, it reminded me of the Harper thing when it was just like out of nowhere. It's like there had been like rumors of health things and everything. I logged onto Twitter one day and I just saw somebody post out of context, like just him with the lantern. And I instantly was like, oh no, what does that mean? Like, that was a weird thing to just randomly tweet, and fuck.
Yeah.
He was very, very much loved by the locker room, and it fucking sucks.
Any other words for either of the two legends passing folks? No.
Yep, just real sad.
Yeah, but just it sucks.
A fantastic episode of SmackDown and the homage to Bray since his passing. In addition, some more stuff happening with AEW. CM Punk is banned from Collision, as well as all of AEW.
CM Punk.
Hopefully wrestling.
Hopefully wrestling. Yeah.
Nah, you would think. I don't know.
He'll be back, and he'll be in WWE.
I don't mean to like jump. Isn't it incredible that he just is probably going to be in WWE somehow still?
Yep.
Well, that's why.
Can I ask my question?
Yes.
Do you guys think he'll be in WWE before the end of this year? Calendar year.
He'll come up
Survivor
at the Rumble.
Series?
Survivor Series is in November. Is
Chicago?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
Survivor
he did
series.
Do that tease where he's like, he did that tease where he's like, oh yeah, I'm free for the next two months. Or so, you know, so.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Probably. He's probably going to be at Survivor Series.
I feel like you shouldn't be able to fight your coworkers and then still get job afterwards.
Right.
Or just be a raging asshole to them for literal decades. Every locker room you've been in on the Indies, WWE and AEW, and just being an asshole to people that no one is an asshole to. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's, and also don't punch him in the face.
Can you imagine if
or
I like
lunge at your boss and fucking throw monitors on him or whatever?
Maybe.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I like punched out Jeff Grubb in front of Backlar and then threatened Backlar and then went to work for Kind of Funny in a couple months.
That would be nuts.
I feel like the better comparison was like if you punched Tam in the face and then like monitors fell onto Lucy. And then you're like, you know what? I'm joining Friends Per Second. I'm taking your spot.
Like, doesn't he hate Triple H more than anything? How is that going to work?
He hates William Regal because he thinks Regal likes Triple H too much. When Regal, his first day on the job, he almost got in a fight with fucking Regal saying, like, oh, you're a Triple H stooge. Like,
incredible.
Like, was there, what happened, folks, in your minds? What made the switch? I know Punk has been a curmudgeon. That's what the CM and CM Punk stands for.
Oh, curmudgeon Punk.
Curmudgeon Punk.
He seemed so happy when he came back. It was like, oh, good, feel good vibes. I think that first injury and just like that started souring him and that got him in a bad place. And then
what if he just sucks real bad?
Maybe he's just he sucks real bad.
Suck.
Yeah. He sucks as a person.
What it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a real bummer because like CM Punk coming to AEW was the reason I got into wrestling. Because I was mostly like passively because y'all chuckle fucks were talking about it on Twitter all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch the premium live events when I would be like, cool. No, when's the RKO going to happen? And then I had to Google and be like, Randy Orton hasn't wrestled in 5 years. And I'd be like, oh, okay, so nobody's going to get RKO'd. And then sometimes I get an RKO. And I was like, oh, sick.
From a non-Randy Orton?
No, it was Randy. Randy would come back.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The one I'm thinking of is when Randy he stepped on Seth Rollins' knee. Remember that? And it was at like a SummerSlam. And he jumped in the air.
Oh, WrestleMania 31, the San Jose one.
That's the best one
of all time. Easy number one.
Fucking sick.
I was there in person. I lost my shit when that happened.
Yeah, and that was fucking incredible. But Punk coming back was the reason I got into wrestling for real. So like part of me is like bummed the fuck out because it's like, the reason I kind of got into this thing that I like vehemently love now. I didn't really like realize that he was an asshole. Like he gives me asshole vibes.
Sure.
You know, when you like look at him, like that's kind of the vibe that I get.
Yeah. You can't trust anybody with a Pepsi tattoo. Come on.
No, you can't. You literally can't. Like you just can't. So then to have him like fall apart like that
literally fall apart as
well. Yeah, like to have all of that stuff was a bummer to watch happen, and I'm happy that the saga for the company that I am like a bigger fan of, I'm happy that saga for AEW is over. And as I'm like trying to now start to get into WWE a little bit more, I would be pretty frustrated if he showed up.
Just real quick, I wanted to see CM Punk's Pepsi tattoo, so I googled CM Punk Pepsi tattoo, and the autocomplete says CM Punk Pepsi tattoo meaning.
It's like meaning.
I think it means Pepsi, homie. I think
it means that he likes Pepsi.
He has some story about there's some punk musician that he likes who has like a Coke tattoo, and he's like, oh, when people ask me about it, I just say, oh, I like Coke. I like Pepsi.
Yeah, I thought it was like a straight-ish thing. Look, it sounds like the people who wrote the story is like, what is the ending and so mean are now doing the tattoos. Okay.
Almost certainly.
I agree with y'all that he's probably gonna wind up in WWE. He's a carny. That company has just become more carny.
Mm-hmm. That company is WWE, you thought they were ruthless before, right? You thought they were just money hungry before. Vince actually, you know, for all of his many faults, he did actually love the wrestling business, and it was in his blood and things like that. Like now, it is cold, hard cash more than ever. As someone who, many of my coworkers got laid off in the last week, former coworkers when I was at WWE, I was texting with a bunch of people that day, and most of the people I knew there got laid off. It is, and I was just hearing from inside that like, it's more ruthless than ever. Like these new guys, all cons dudes, these agents, it is, it's rough.
And I think that ruthlessness is going to translate directly into that makes us money. Then let's do it. And like you said, Vince has always done that. Vince, he would have a million falling outs with people, and then 6 months later, and then all was forgiven, and they got back together and started making money again.
Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior, all these guys that like, no, never going to happen.
Exactly.
CM Punk was the most recent. Never going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like the relationship is somewhat there. Like he made that appearance at that one. Was it a SmackDown or a Raw?
He showed up backstage at a Raw.
Right.
And just kind of like went backstage and talked to Hunter, I think he tried to like, make amends with Miz. Because I think the last time they talked was when he told him to go suck a blood covered blood money dick in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the last thing CM Punk said to Miz. So I think he's
imagine
like, hey,
if
cool
Mike
now.
Tweeted that at me.
Do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like the stuff that it seems like he exclusively is able to get away with, I don't particularly understand.
It's money. He moves merch. He, ratings are a big thing with him. Like he does draw a crowd. We're talking about him. Everyone's been talking about him forever. People talked about him for fucking 7 years when he wasn't even in the industry.
Yeah.
It's undeniable, as much of an asshole as he is, he's a draw.
I just can't see who he would immediately feud with if he were to go back to the WWE.
Seth Rollins.
Rollins fucking hates him.
He had a big problem with like the slightest, provocation from Jack Perry. Isn't he just going to immediately want to get into a fist fight with Seth Rollins?
The thing is, shit will get shut down. Like, he will not be able to pull that shit the way he was doing it. AEW is run by a fan. WWE is a giant corporation.
He's going to be like surrounded on all sides by lawyers at WWE. For real.
So that kind of brings us tangentially to our next story here, is the WWE merger forming TKO as a greater entity. And
Jesus Christ.
But like, so Punk is on, I believe, on good terms with some UFC folks, right? He's got a good relationship with like Dana White, I'd assume.
I don't really know, honestly.
Okay. Well, I'm under the assumption that
I think he does. Punk like Dana White.
Well, I mean, he was such a star. What a winner.
Yeah,
he won a lot. Right? He won the championship in his first fight, I think, and never lost it. Yeah. He did
just
great.
Like how you never lost at Gamer Jeopardy, whatever we call it.
Well, that's a shoot, though. That's a shoot. So.
WWE is no longer, what is it? It's no McMahon owns the primary stake in it anymore, right?
He has like 16% in the overall company, like Vince does. Yeah.
And Dan, you were alluding to this, several of your former coworkers, unfortunately, getting laid off, a lot of consolidation, a lot of cold deals about to be made.
But Nia Jax has a job.
Oh, cool. Anti-vax Nia Jax, baby. Great. She's not like other girls.
God.
She's not. She's worse.
Yeah.
What do we immediately see this doing to the company? Does this have like an immediate impact on the PLEs, the roster, how the shows look presented?
I wouldn't be surprised if in the next month you see like a wave of talent releases. I could see that. Like, and I think they said even before the merger and everything that they were going to start being a little more quick to cut people in NXT if they weren't showing. Like, you know, there's going to be like a 6 month or something. What's the word? Evaluatory period or something, yeah. Where it's like, all right, you're not getting better. Get out of here. I mean, you look at things like Gable Steveson. It's just like,
yeah,
oh boy,
like, God. So the one thing I have never really thought about, like AEW. I'm assuming it's just a much smaller, but how many folks are on the roster or like paid by WWE, but like have been being paid by WWE for years and have never like touched?
Oh, tons, tons. Like, I mean, I've seen those numbers and seen the people like Austin and the Bellas and stuff. Yeah. Like Austin could go, you know, 5 years without showing up on TV, but like he is getting paid for sure on top of the royalty stuff and all that stuff.
Got
just it. To kind of keep him in the family, you know, to kind of keep him from going elsewhere or saying bad things about the company. Like we had tabs when I worked there where it was like, here's the Raw roster, here's the SmackDown roster, NXT. And then there was a miscellaneous, which is just like people we have that we can use.
How do we get
like, here's
man.
Austin, here's
Vince's
you know, yeah.
collection of boys. Here they are.
The boy tab.
Well, let's flip it over to the girl tab because continued rumors, almost truths now, of Jade Cargill jumping ship to WWE. If there's anyone ever been built for the WWE,
No.
It is
no with the WWE machine behind her, like she already seemed like such a fucking star.
Big deal.
With WWE behind her, holy shit. Like that's a fit right there.
Fortnite skin in 8 months, book it.
I gotta ask y'all, does she skip NXT, go straight to the main roster? Does she take the NXT title off of Becky and stays in NXT to run wild?
I don't think
you could. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, the one thing I love Jade, my wife, Jade Cargill.
My wife.
I love her. Every time I watch her wrestle, though, I'm like, I don't know if you're great at wrestling.
Yes. She could do some work for sure.
A little NXT, fine.
They will be able to hide the weaknesses for sure and give her some. Like NXT might be a good chance for her to, you know, work in developmental and actually develop.
You know? I'm excited to see her be in the machine to actually have her hit the potential that I definitely know and feel that she has to like close that gap. Because I do want to see her run roughshod on the women's division over there because she can and absolutely will.
I want her to squash Charlotte Flair.
Oh, God,
God, that would rule.
I think they got to make sure not to do another undefeated streak thing because, like, that, you're always just like, those never really worked. Goldberg's kind of the only one that worked. And, you know, it's, I don't know, like, Jade was, like, what, 60-0 and then lost.
They
and,
kept,
like,
they kept
it's not like Statlander feels
giant. Thing like every time like and we had to care like no one cares
like have her lose in the first like 3 months or something and then get that off the table.
A lot of folks in chat talking looking at Jade's abs for the first time.
I not only want Jade Cargill to squash Charlotte Flair.
I
want her to win several championships. Is what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
What?
All right.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
God, if there was ever someone to take the title of mommy from Rhea Ripley, it would be.
Oh my
That's
God!
What I'm saying. Like, there's so many. There's like the women's division in AEW is frustrating because I know that there's talent over there, but like they don't very clearly have no fucking idea what to do with any of it.
Yeah.
All right. So Grub just shared a picture of Jay Cargill's ass in the chat.
No,
that's her whole human body. Mike.
Yeah, it's ass-centric. It's ass-centric.
Everyone loves Jade Cargill.
I like the fit. All right, that's all I was saying. Jesus.
But yeah, I'm really excited. There's so many immediate like immediate storylines that I feel like you can put Jade into and have them work instantly.
That Rhea, it's like, Bianca, Charlotte, all three of those. Asuka, yeah. Like there's
Asuka, yeah. Like anyone. Oh my fucking god! Can you imagine? Like, I'm really excited for her. Like, I'm really excited for her to like make this next step. Because I think she, I do think she will be fucking huge.
Yeah, she's gonna be a superstar.
A Jade Cargill WrestleMania entrance, like that's gonna be awesome.
It's too bad that like that just couldn't really work out in AEW that way, you know, where you know, a snobby AEW smarks care a bit too much about work rate, maybe for our own good, I guess,
But think about what they did with her in AEW. Like, she always had the look and everything. The matches were never the best. And then storyline-wise, okay, they bring in Stokely, and they had Stokely debut being her manager. That kind of just went nowhere. And then suddenly it was Smart Mark Sterling.
Like 2 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, then it's the baddies.
The baddies went like, nowhere.
None of this went anywhere, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you could have done. Like, you know, I don't know how I would fantasy book it differently.
Yeah.
Should have brought Shaq back. He disappeared in that ambulance after their match, and then we never saw him again. What happened to Shaq?
He's still injured.
In the nether realm, I think, with Scorpion and Quan Chi.
True nerd making me relive her entrance at Double or Nothing this past year.
I know.
That to a WrestleMania scale.
That Mania scale?
Jesus.
And, I know.
Oh, man. Like, okay. All right.
It is so weird now that AEW's been around long enough that we are getting like the AEW to WWE changes. Fine. Like the Cody one was obviously huge,
right?
And this one makes sense. And you know, I guess CM Punk. Also.
Well, yeah. So while we're on the topic of Cody, Jade, and now maybe CM Punk jumping ship, has there been any other rumblings or possibilities of
folks? I thought Ricky Starks was such a Cody guy,
right?
Kind of like a Punk guy, right? And I know, you know. You know, he had a pretty high profile match and he's getting a lot of screen time on Collision. I would still not be shocked if someday he showed up in WWE.
I think he's close with Taker as well. And, you know, Taker holds some sway. So.
Oh, dude. Starks would fit in perfectly.
I love Ricky. Yeah.
I want a full radical situation.
Yeah.
Let's do a radical situation, but no one murders anyone. How about that this time?
Okay. Yeah. That's great. That's a great idea. I love
we
that.
Need the strict rules like that.
Sorry, Dan. I need at least a little murder. It just doesn't work for me, brother.
His bloodlust needs to be satiated.
That Ricky Danielson match was was unfucking believable.
It was unhinged. Yes. It was, It's good stuff.
Yeah. Well,
Danielson. It's just remember when we thought we'd never see him wrestle again?
Yes.
And then he leaves WWE and we see him do a billion incredible matches.
Yeah.
I was at that Kenny Omega one at that first Grand Slam and I was like, this is like probably the best match I've ever seen.
I was also there.
So, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
I was not there.
That was my first live wrestling event. They've all not hit that peak.
No, that's kind of.
I was wearing a lucha mask, so I didn't get fired from my employer.
Oh, okay. Should I? Do I have to wear? No, it's fine if I wear one.
No, you're good.
I have to wear one if I visit the Kind of Funny studio, though.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. And the last thing we have here before we get to the PPVs and PLEs, Dan, did you add this? Yes. Rock and Cena. Is this more so the Rock coming back to SmackDown?
Or them suddenly having an open schedule.
Yes.
Them being those guys, yes. That this is, hey, a writer's strike is happening. We need to get paid.
We're not doing anything.
Exactly, yes. I think Batista said the same thing. He's like, I'll wrestle.
I'm bored.
I bet you will. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
it's kind of crazy that's not covered. They are acting.
Yeah.
But it's not
gray area.
It's not union.
Thanks, Hulk Hogan. That's why it's not.
They're definitely not a struck company. Like I think that's because their writers were never unionized, right? So, yes, they're not covered. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've thought about that scene in backstage at the Denver SmackDown. Was that last week?
Last week,
question mark. Because Rock completely steps over Cena. Completely. It's so clear that Rock hasn't been doing wrestling in a long time because he completely steps over Cena. And I'm like, bud, you ruined it. You ruined this moment.
There's only one take now.
There's all the memes and stuff about like Cody being mad about Dwayne being in the main event of WrestleMania, not him. Like, does Cody get to finish the story at this point? Like, does WrestleMania 40
happen? He's going back to AEW.
That'd be so funny. I'd love it. Oh, that'd be so funny. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's my question. Like, what is going on here? Like, is The Rock really, like, back for a while and doing stuff?
I could see occasionally, like, when he came back for the Cena once in a lifetime stuff or whatever, he would, like, do a lot of, like, via satellite stuff, like promos and stuff like that, and then, like, a few in-person appearances. You know, when he had the belt, he only had the two matches against Punk, I believe.
Enjoy
he had that one tag match with Miz and Truth.
By the way, when Punk came back, did y'all notice, like, that one random person, like, ran behind with the phone, like, taking a video?
I seen that's for his, like, YouTube channel.
What the hell was that?
Productions or whatever.
His Zoa. What's it called? Zoa videos.
You got Zoa Energy, Terramana Tequila, $7 Productions.
He loves juice.
Yeah,
The Rock loves liquids.
Oh, he's on.
I'm very frustrated. Oh, okay, funny. I'm very frustrated that for a long time, I feel like I had turned on The Rock. Not a long time, but after Black Adam, after his, like, Hollywood run, I'm like, Dwayne,
can you get a solo shot of you saying that I don't like The Rock, just so we can?
No, because I was gonna. Okay, I don't like The Rock.
Wow.
Whoa.
I love that Dwayne The Rock president. Johnson.
Oh, that's your future president, Janet Joe.
But, like, he came out. I wasn't expecting it. You know, I tuned into SmackDown, had it on the background, and then I hear a stupid theme. I'm like, I'm all the way back in. I fucking get it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's like, I thought the same thing. Like, oh, The Rock finally, like, lost his, like, impervious cool guy stature a bit. When not only did Black Adam not do well, but then he kind of, like, whined about it publicly, right? This seemed like a bit of a bounce back, having this giant pop for that return. It was a really cool pop. I did enjoy just watching that video and hearing everybody freak out, because it really was unexpected. I didn't think Rock was going to show up on some random SmackDown.
Yeah, it was weird. I just got YouTube TV again for sports, and then so I'm like, oh, I'll watch SmackDown. I turned it on, and that's what was happening. Yeah. I'm like, wait, is this like a throw? I'm like, no, this is happening right now. And then I put two and two together. Oh, Rider Strike. Both these guys are here. That makes some sense. It was. I do think the moment itself was muted. I think you're right, Nikki, that they kind of goofed it up a little bit. But that's wrestling. That happens all the time.
Oh, why I was like, you can't have anything perfect. Nothing can be perfect. Like, there has to be something, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Exactly. Yes. And
he went right back to his old form of, like, hilariously cutting someone down, but in a way that you, like, don't do in wrestling. Because in wrestling, you're supposed to talk someone like, oh, you know, you're a great competitor and stuff, but I'm gonna kick your ass and I hate you. And Rock notoriously would just shit on people. Yeah. Remember Jericho's debut, the Millennium Man thing? Like, after 6 boring minutes, The Rock just shits all over, like, calling you boring. He did that to Austin Theory. He was like, shut your bitch ass up. And it's like, cut to Austin Theory just looking, oh man, the sad puppy dog thing.
But you're then, like, he immediately puts him over in a tweet after the show, which is like, Dwayne, like, it doesn't work like that, man. Come on. We're launching new stars here.
Hey, this is unrelated, but Nikki, your shirt looks a lot like John Leguizamo as Luigi.
You
look
like his name again?
John
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo?
Wrong on the first syllable.
You said John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
How do you say that?
Leguizamo.
No, Let him try again. We can fix it in post. Go ahead.
Excuse me, this is a very random tangent, but Nikki, your shirt looks a lot like John Luigi Guigi Zombo. Guigi Zombo from the live action Super Mario Brothers movie. I was supposed to be making fun of Nikki, damn it!
God, we just need, like, a supercut of all of us mispronouncing things and just not knowing.
Luigi
Zombo.
I tried.
Is Leguizamo into wrestling? I don't know.
He should be.
Hey, I don't know if anyone caught Collision before we talk about the big shows here, but did anyone catch the Keith Lee promo? Take 22?
I don't know what the deal is with that, because they did it again later on and, like, made it, like, a work thing. So, like, I don't know if that's, like, they actually fucked up and then later on they poked fun of themselves, or if they're, like, trying to
AEW's
do some
production
angle with that.
Has been kind of sloppy for years now, and I don't know why it's not getting better yet.
Yeah, it's like, here's a backstage swerve promo, and you just can't hear a goddamn
thing.
You can't
hear anything.
Several times, I can't even hear the music, entrance music of a wrestler coming in.
Yeah.
It feels high school sometimes, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Considering it's Warner Brothers.
Yes. Oh, so that was the other thing I forgot to put here. How do we feel about AEW pay-per-views potentially, and maybe heading to HBO Max? Or I'm sorry, Max, the one to watch for HBO.
The one to watch for HBO.
There'll be premium live events then, right?
Extra?
Yeah. No, you better not. Because you can't go back at this point to 12 pay-per-views a year that you're paying for. Like the network ended that forever. Mm-hmm. If it's a Max situation, and then maybe like the big four, like the old four, like maybe those are like traditional pay-per-views. Yeah. I think people would accept that. But
I agree.
I think I'm gonna miss the era of just these four big pay-per-views, and they each felt important. Mm-hmm. But you know, one a month, maybe you're gonna have some work for everybody to do. And it'll be nice to have to get in a subscription instead of paying $50 each time. But
yes,
thing is that I don't know if the way that I have felt about AEW pay-per-views is that the build kind of feels like it falls apart in every step until 2.5 weeks before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, you're right.
And then the pay-per-view is 2.5 weeks from now, and then you're like, oh, shit, here we go. But you still don't know the card. You still don't know what's happening.
Well, but then they will, the ones that seem like there's no build or the card's not great or whatever, those are the
bangers.
All Out. All Out's like, how are we going to build a thing in a week and nobody knows half the card? And then All Out kicked ass, you know? Mm-hmm.
They managed to do it. All right, folks, how do we feel about talking about the pay-per-views, starting with All in first?
Yes.
Wembley. Hey,
there were 30 people in that building, if you ask.
I see the Will Ospreay tattoo thing?
Yeah. Yes.
It's amazing.
Oh, boy. I know when we were chatting about wrestling in a laundry room somewhere in Los Angeles, in Burbank, we were semi-doubtful that they'd be able to hit a large enough crowd for Wembley, and I'm happy to be wrong about that. I love that wrestling fans are everywhere. Do more pay-per-views across the pond. Give them some shine. Give them a Mania, huh?
Yeah, I hate the obsession about ratings and turnstile counts and ticket sales. Like, I don't care. Like, no matter how you look at it, the business is so fucking healthy right now. Yeah. Like AEW, the fact that whether it's 70,000 or 80,000 or whatever, that was a massive triumph.
Huge.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the whole thing with this
didn't exist 5 years ago.
Yeah. And that was the whole thing, right? Oh, no other outfit could ever get 10,000 people into an arena, right? That was it.
That's what started the first All-In. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now they're here, and that's 8 times that, or 7 to 8 times that. That is really impressive.
Yep.
So let's quickly go down the match card here, and if any of these stick out to you, let's go chat about them. All right. Okay. The night started with the ROH Tag Championship. MJF and Adam Cole going against Aussie Open. Them winning and taking the titles. I love
how over the kangaroo kick is.
It's really funny.
So stupid. And MJF just, I can't believe MJF is actually an amazing babyface.
I know.
Doesn't feel real. I still keep waiting for the turn back. I'm so glad it hasn't happened because I like the babyface run. I would have been so mad, especially if here it was like a ha ha ha, JK, I'm a bad guy still and doing the same shtick from 3 years ago.
I thought babyface MJF against heel Punk would have been money, but.
Someone fucked it up though.
MJF did. Yeah.
Impossible this. Yeah, it was MJF.
What about face MJF versus a heel? And I've been dragging this out because he's been off TV so long. I have somehow forgot his name. His old bodyguard from Cleveland.
Oh, Wardlow.
Wardlow.
Thank you. Yeah.
That was excellent stalling.
That was stalling.
Where is Wardlow? He hasn't been on TV in 5 months. They
fumbled him much, and it sucks because it was supposed to be his big fucking thing where he beat MJF. He beat MJF clean as hell, beat the shit out of him. Yeah. But that was kind of overshadowed by all the drama with MJF that weekend.
Yeah,
where's Wardlow now? Where's Wardlow's snorkel? This is a Waldo's jokes, everybody.
That's good. Oh, that was good, wow. Mitch.
Thanks
for telling us, man.
Thanks, Nicky. I'm sorry I said you looked like John Leguizamo.
you hit it better.
Is this you really trying to pronounce it correctly? I need to. Is this a shoot?
Yeah. Yes. So, I can't pronounce this. pretty difficult last name, Mr. Grilled Cheese Disintegrates before I can finish cooking it.
John Leguizamo.
Mike, this is completely off topic, but in the meeting today, he's like, F-Zero music really is good. And I like about lost my mind because of course.
Did you really not know that, Dan?
Yes, I didn't.
You never heard Mute City or Big Blue before?
I didn't know it was so good.
Oh my God.
Didn't realize it. It's fucking awesome. It's great.
Well, I'm glad you know.
All right. Continuing down the card, we have up for the FTW Championship, Jack Perry, formerly known as Jungle Boy, versus Hook. Hook winds up winning.
Most important match of the night.
Yeah. Somehow. It's real glass. Cry me a river.
This pre-show Jungle Boy match might have like changed the course of wrestling history.
Yeah, forever.
It already has.
Yeah. How do we feel about Jack Perry?
Is he coming back? Is he done? Like what? Like the heel turn wasn't really working that well anyways,
he's not
right?
A great talker.
No, yeah, he's not very good at talking. I don't like him. I don't like him either. Yeah. Every time he's on TV, I'm like, ah, oh, this sucks.
The whole time he was fighting Hook,
I was like, oh, it sucks that they've trapped Hook in this prison with Jack Perry. Like, I just don't understand why he's still stuck here.
It was cute at first when he was like super plucky face and it was like a fun gimmick and he had a dinosaur on his team.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was early AEW. Like, oh, this is a fun. Yeah, this is like a fun new thing. I haven't seen an act like this before. The music when he got the Tarzan boy thing, that was great. And it's like also you could excuse the like, oh, he's kind of green. He's not great at talking. It's like he's really young. He'll get there. And it's like it's been a few years now. He's not there.
The best thing to come out of Jungle Boy though is Christian Cage hating fathers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And wanting to sleep with mothers.
Yes, of course.
Good stuff.
Among us.
I mean, exactly, right? I like Hook. I want Hook to do more things. Okay.
You good, Hook?
Next up for the Real World Championship.
Why? That bugged me so much. Sorry.
Mike,
CM
me
Punk
too.
Versus Joe. Like, why would the ring announcer of the company be like, the real AEW champ? Why would you go along with that?
You know that was like a Punk thing of like, they need to announce me. I'm not just going to come out with a belt. You need to announce me.
Just
as the
come
real
out
world
with the belt.
That was a very fun match, but my favorite part in hindsight now is knowing that Joe had to be fucking pissed off going out.
Yeah, he had
Jungle Boy. He had blood on his hand when he came out there from like breaking up the thing.
Jungle
Boy was bleeding from the glass. But so Samoa Joe had to be super pissed off. There was some extra just mustard on it when he threw Punk like head first into the desk and double bird. It's like, I fucking love that. Joe's the best.
You think friendship over there? Another one?
Joe's a pro. He'll do business when he needs to, but he stays out of drama. Joe's a smart man.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was a pretty good match, but it's just wild to think that this was CM Punk's last appearance in AEW.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good thing he went over then, huh?
Yeah. I love Samoa Joe. I want to see Samoa Joe everywhere, you know?
Yeah, Joe's great.
He should have taken the title off of Brock when he was still in WWE. It would have been amazing.
It's like Joe's obviously still
Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Joe's obviously still doing really good now, but like, man, I wish we had like a 10-year younger Joe that you could actually just make the face of your company right now, and have
Samoa
be the top
Joe.
Guy.
Like a little Joe. Next we have a trios match, a trio of Bullet Club Gold versus Kenny Omega, Adam Hangman Page, and Kota Ibushi with Bullet Club Gold going over. I love Juice Robinson.
Yeah, he's Juice is great.
He's one of those guys that is so good now and so in his character that, like, no matter what's going on, even if he's not like the legal man or even doing anything, I just find myself looking at him in like multi-man matches because he's always doing something fucking hilarious.
The entrance alone, like I'm glad that the guns can try to look cool, but then as soon as it pans around and it's just Juice going, was it this one? He was on all fours, or was that the next pay-per-view? It was the next.
He's done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Rock Hard is a fucking hilarious nickname. The picture of him and the honeycomb guy side by side is very funny. There's just everything about him is working right now.
Juice has been working so much better here than he ever did in Japan. This has been a very smart career move for him.
It's one of the really fun things ever since they started airing NXT is like seeing these characters and performers that didn't have it. Like, remember when he was CJ Parker?
Yes.
And he was like the environmental protester guy and stuff, and it's like,
God, forever.
Okay, you know, I wish him the best. He doesn't seem to have it. He doesn't know the character and the ring. He doesn't really, you know, there's nothing that stands out. And now it's like, okay, no, he found it. It all clicked. He went to Japan. He did his own thing. He bet on himself, and he's killing it.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Japan, as somebody used to watch a lot of New Japan, and, you know, Bushi was always fun to watch there. He's not been doing it for me much in his brief few AW appearances.
That's what I have been scared to say, Mike. So thank you for being brave and saying it.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just not really working or coming together. Just he feels out of place. He doesn't. You know, it was so crisp and sort of violent. You know, that strong style that he was so good at in New Japan, and here it just seems kind of sloppy right now.
For as much of like a work rate as AEW promotes, there is like a they've kind of established a distinct style now that Ibushi doesn't quite understand just yet.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see a lot of him. Maybe it will get, you know, adjusted to it, or if those really were just a few brief appearances to do a favor for his buddy Kenny. I don't know.
Who is kicking ass, though, now is Takeshita.
Takeshita. A fucking absolute unit.
Agile, powerhouse, great look. Every fucking match is awesome. Like, that guy kicks ass.
You have Don Callis by your side. Nothing but success,
baby. With
your
weird brown noise, brown note entrance music or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
all right. For the tag team championship, we have a match that I thought wouldn't happen. FTR versus the Young Bucks 3, with FTR retaining.
I love those guys' commitment to just being old school wrestlers in every way, including just like getting arrested for pulling guns on people. Like, they really wanted to be Jim Crockett Promotions 1985 guys, you know.
Here's while we're displaying takes. I don't like the Young Bucks either.
Oh, no.
They're very polarizing. Some people really
They are very
don't.
Polarizing. I know people who also like cannot stand them. I like them, but
we had Jim Cornette on this podcast.
the only cool thing that the Young Bucks have ever done is that match. Let me rephrase this. The only Young Bucks match that I loved was the one against Lucha Brothers 2 years ago.
No, the cage match.
At All Out.
That one's amazing.
That was one of the best things I'd ever seen. That was the one also where they put the fucking the pins on the bottom of the Jordan.
Yep.
And that was that's a match. Otherwise, they've done nothing.
I do like the Young Bucks a lot. This match was good. It wasn't as good as the other FTR Bucks matches that I could recall. Anyways, it was fine.
Yeah. I feel okay on the Young Bucks. I like when they will flip over the top rope and go, "You're dead!" And that's fun.
Yeah, the stuff they bark out in the midair is always fun.
Yeah.
Next, we have a Stadium Stampede with Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, and the rest of the Best Friends with Penta versus the Blackpool Combat Club with Santana and Ortiz.
It was fun.
It was fine.
Wasn't the best one.
I liked this, actually. Yeah, I thought this was a lot of fun, but I also liked the Best Friends a lot. I think it just really tickled me getting to see like Chuck Taylor in front of 70,000+ people and win. I didn't think the Best Friends were going to win, so I was really happy about that. The Sue bit here was fantastic with the cookies. That got a big smile from my face. I actually had a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah.
I don't think the Penta thing really played. Like, I don't know enough about Penta lore to know, like, wait, what is happening?
He's like, he's back as a different guy now.
Well,
he's
red at least now. It was like last time where he did that whole, like, get character change and then wrestled exactly the same still.
Yeah.
So he committed to the pit still.
With that ladder that didn't have both sides?
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Blackpool Combat Club?
I don't feel anything.
I don't necessarily, as a faction, I don't really think any kind of stories or anything are killing it for me, but every person, Yuta could use some work, but like Mox is what a pro wrestler should be. Like, I see that guy, I hear that guy, and you just believe that he is that, because that's him. He's not playing a character.
Him and Eddie Kingston.
Yes, both of them. They are the purest pro wrestlers, not in the like technical wrestling sense or anything, but like
it doesn't matter
what a pro wrestler should be. They are the dudes. And then, like, you know, Cesaro, Claudio is incredible. Danielson, of course. Yuta is the only thing that's not really working for me as far as the individual talents. But overall, the storyline.
Yuta's been progressing a lot, right? I like Yuta, and I think it's good to have one young person in that group.
Totally.
I mean, that's presumably the whole point of it is really to benefit Yuta more than anything else.
Yeah. It would have, if not Yuta, it would have been what? Daniel Garcia, probably.
Probably Garcia, who
I bet
would have killed for that spot right now.
Lee Moriarty, maybe even.
I forgot about him.
Exactly.
Yeah, me too.
God. It's a tough position to be in with that company, you know. That specific company, Santana and Ortiz. I hope they figure out whatever the fuck
is that up to for real? Is that a shooter?
I think it's a shoot. Yeah, I don't know what the specifics are, but I don't think that's great.
It's gonna be Grubb and I when our friendship finally falls apart. It's gonna be really public, and bitter.
Which one's Ortiz?
We're both Ortiz. Weirdly,
two Ortiz is
two Ortiz feud. Yeah,
yeah. It's gonna be a lot of fun. Look forward to that, everybody.
Moving on.
It'll be about money. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
The Columbros dissolving in front of us.
The Columbros fortune, yeah.
It's like, you said we would go to Disney World if we got this many on Patreon.
He did say that, actually. Say he's going to take me to Disney Sea. Yeah. I told him he can't take me until he takes his family.
Yeah,
to
Mikey, that's
World
absolutely
first.
Right. Yeah.
That would be a problem. Even I would feel weird about that.
All right, next, a four-way for the Women's Championship. We have Toni Storm versus Hikaru Shida versus Saraya versus Britt Baker, with Saraya running away with it and winning.
This match made me mad.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it wasn't a great match. I wasn't surprised Saraya won. Like, I saw that coming a mile away. Stupid hometown pop, even though no one really cared.
I wish Jamie Hayter was healthy. Because
me too.
Sure, that would have been much better.
God, I would have taken her over winning over Saraya. Toni Storm probably doing the best character work of her career.
Yeah.
They found something there. Like the outcast stuff was like lame for a while. It's like they're just like they're shitty and they spray paint people's butts or whatever. Like
they're
I don't get this whole
NWO.
Yeah, it was super lame. And then like at least with Toni, they have figured something out.
Yeah. I hate the idea of Hikaru Shida being a transitional champion.
I know, like it felt shitty. Like I think that's why I did it. It felt emblematic of the way that the women's division in AEW is booked, which is to say that it feels like they forget that they have to do a match every week until 35 minutes before they go live, and they're like, "Oh fuck, shit."
And I have nothing against Britt Baker. I just feel nothing.
Yeah,
she's been coasting for a while now. Just like ever since the end of her title reign, really, the spark has been a little gone there. I don't know why.
Moving on
too much
to the coffin match with Darby Allin and the Icon Sting versus Swerve and Christian Cage, with Sting and Darby winning. I love all four people in this match.
Yeah, this match was better than I was
expecting.
So good
for Swerve. Yeah. Swerve is such an awesome talent, and when he was coming out to face Sting in Wembley Stadium, I was kind of like, hell yeah, like that's awesome for him.
That's cool. what they're doing with Swerve right now, like pitting him against Hangman, feels like a good thing. Yeah. Feels like it immediately elevates Swerve.
Prince not really going for it with the dance lately is great. Loving that.
And man, Christian Cage, we didn't talk about this, but how do we feel about the rumors of Adam Copeland, Edge, heading to AEW?
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, I was gonna say I like it if like it's for a fun Edge and Christian goofball reunion tour, because like I don't know if I'm as big on the like grizzled dad talking about my legacy and listening to Pearl Jam and whatever. Like it's just like I don't know. Like there's something about like Edge is a nice guy. He's very talented. His place is secure in history. But like I don't know, his WWE comeback was kind of like outside of the Rumble, you know, returns kind of like
yeah.
Okay, this is kind of a lot. You know?
I'm just really scared about getting a really depressing Edge and Christian versus Hardy Boys match in like 2024.
Versus Dudleys. Let's bring the ladders out.
Shut the hell up.
They're all active. All six of those dudes are active.
Active is pushing it. I know it's unique.
Hey, I always liked Matt Hardy out of the two, but Matt, just stop.
I can't believe you said it out loud, because now it's going to happen. That's the word now.
Yeah.
They're gonna
Matt's call. Matt can be a lot on social media.
Yeah.
Matt's knowing, whole family can be a lot on social
knowing,
media.
Knowing
go
ahead.
I told you my friends used to call him Matt McCarty, right?
Oh
I'm sorry.
Matt Luigi Zamo.
He had that great You had that great TNA run. That's something, right? Delete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She showed me
the first time because I was like, well, hey, what's everyone doing with their hands?
I see chat saying D-Von's not active. Didn't the Dudleys just wrestle a match on Impact like in the last week or two?
I swear they did, or at least it was advertised.
I thought they did. Yeah.
He may not have done a lot. He could have just come in for the hot tag. Yeah. Next, we have, surprisingly, pretty okay, good match, because it has one of the best wrestlers, if not the biggest knobs in the world, Chris Jericho versus Will Ospreay.
Better than I expected.
Will Ospreay, man, going over.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Ospreay's got this thing that, so I had a lot of people over for All In, and I had my friend Jeff Cork came over, and he hasn't watched wrestling in forever. And so he didn't know who any of these guys were. He had heard of Chris Jericho, stuff like that. And to see him, like, Ospreay was the one guy that Cork was like, holy shit, this guy rules. Yes. And like, I love seeing that. I love seeing like a lapsed fan's perspective. Like, that's the guy that stands out. Like, yeah, you can tell watching that guy that like, he is fucking good.
I feel like Will Ospreay is kind of gunning for the same spot that Jay White is also gunning for in AEW.
They were doing that in New Japan
as well.
Before, so yeah, that makes sense. Right. They're both kind of similar. They're both sort of like Kenny Omega successors in different ways. Jay White does a bit more character work, and Ospreay a bit more work rate, I suppose. Will Ospreay's just done so much. When I was first starting New Japan, he was just Mr. Flippy Doo, and I liked the Flippy Doo. But he kind of looked like a dork, right? He just flipped around a lot, and you know, he's done a lot to sort of legitimize himself in the last few years, to the point where he's having a giant match with Chris Jericho in front of, you know, 70,000+ people.
That match, I didn't, here's what I'll admit. Didn't watch this one. I watched just the part where Chris came out and then did an unbelievably terrible job of singing in front of 80,000 people.
And for the rest of time, like, he's going to say, my band played Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all he's going to say.
That hurts.
And it was awful. And I was like,
you're done.
I'm good on this one.
I saw them
live about 10 years ago at a roadside saloon in Minnesota, and they are
now they're playing Wembley.
I was supposed to see them. I was going to see them, and then it got canceled because of the pandemic.
Did Jericho do Masked Singer?
Yeah.
No, he did Dancing with the Stars. I remember that.
He did Masked Singer, too.
He did Masked Singer.
Like a year ago or so, yeah.
Okay. I want to see the reaction there and just be like, huh, okay. Ooh. You're singing. Yeah. You definitely are singing. You can't deny that.
Moving on to the penultimate match on the card, the Trios Championship with the House of Black versus the Acclaimed, accompanied by Daddy Ass, with the Acclaimed going over and winning the Trios Championship.
I didn't like the build of this, of like, okay, we're going to do the fake retirement thing with Billy and then make a big deal out of like, it's not going to be Daddy Ass, it's going to be Badass Billy Gunn. It's like, well, you use the exact same act. And like, it's not like Badass Billy Gunn was this like world eater back in the day. He's the guy, he came out in a Cartman shirt and told people to suck his dick. Like,
it was the same thing. He wasn't actually that much of a badass. It turned out.
Yeah.
He didn't die or anything. What the hell?
That the Acclaimed stuff is running a little stale for me lately.
I still enjoyed it here, but I don't know. I'm still happy to see them doing well. I still pop for Daddy Ass and the scissoring, but I'm also very juvenile.
Yeah. Oh,
what?
No.
Yeah. No, I say with my Mickey Mouse Mitch. Browns t-shirt on.
I want bigger things for the House of Black. I really like that group of goths.
And Buddy Murphy's a dork.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone else in that stable, including Julia Hart, I absolutely adore her and her big hats. Very fun. Yeah.
Loves a big hat.
Yeah. Brody King.
She's getting him.
Like, oh, man, put everything on Brody King. Jesus.
The beast. Yeah.
All right. Final match of the night. We have MJF versus Adam Cole, with MJF retaining and not turning against his best friend. Good match.
Very good match.
That was the correct booking, I thought.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. I was so worried there'd be an unnecessary heel turn. Yeah. I just was happy. No, that was the most interesting thing to do. No, they actually are still friends. There actually was, at least as permanent as can be in wrestling, permanent character growth that happened here during this. Like, clearly, at different points, they were both only doing this with plans to screw the other one over or work the other one. But no, you know, like there's a lot of story stuff in this match, almost maybe more than you're maybe used to seeing in a main event, but it I think it did work here really well. It did make it a lot of fun to watch, and you weren't sure where it was all going to go. So even the post-match stuff was a lot of fun. I don't know if I needed the whole like reset that they did, right? Like the false finish, like a bit much, but still, I enjoyed this match quite a lot.
This match,
and there's still meat on the bone with this thing because like this angle has now made Roderick Strong an interesting character.
As soon as you're done with the Roderick Strong stuff, folks, where is the lie? Bring in Bobby Fish.
Oh, no.
The fucking video package where he was talking, like, he was at therapy about his, like, tortured upbringing with, like, these pictures of, like, my dad's rampant alcoholism with, like, them doing karaoke together in Elvis suits and stuff. This was a
childhood. It turns out Roddy is very good.
Yeah.
That was just another.
I mean, he's always been a great wrestler, but they found a character finally.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Man, I occasionally look back fondly and disappointed, but also relieved that the Undisputed Era never went to the main roster because it would have been terrible. It would have been
terrible. That whole thing, I mean, it annoyed me when in AEW it was just that again. Like, the Undisputed Era was fun for a while, but like, yeah, okay, I get it. Like, heel group where you have the one guy wrestle and the other one's chief for them a lot. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They came out on a tank on Raw. That counts as main roster.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm just imagining Bobby Fish standing at a turnbuckle in just absolute silence. Right. Jumping ship to WWE Payback 2023. Folks, how are we on time? We're good? We're good?
I got a dip real fast.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize.
In the middle of this podcast.
Not forgiven.
Damn.
It's fine. We're building up to a gimmick.
You text me through a table later at a different time.
We're building up to a gimmick. Don't worry, Nikki. If you have to dip, Great. Don't worry.
I got to dip.
Okay. Salute Major Mitch on your way out.
Major Mitch, thank you for your service.
Major Mitch.
Major Mitch.
Oh, is Mario here? Is that why you got to go? Sorry.
Yeah, Mario's here. It's Mario.
Oh, perfect. Are you the new voice?
That's oh shit, I gotta go. Bye.
Oh my gosh, is that Ben Starr? It's my favorite dumb internet meme. All right, moving. We can quickly zip through this. Not a lot of standouts here. We have Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a steel cage match with Becky Lynch going over, folks. Trish Stratus,
dude.
How old is she? Not to put age on anything.
47.
Ageless.
Absolutely insane. It hurts to wake up for me sometimes, and I'm turning 32.
Yeah, she's incredible, and like this entire recent run of hers has been so awesome. It's been she just looks great.
It's really great to see her get her flowers, deservedly so, for like all of the work that she put in like the Attitude Era. But like now, it's like, oh no, I'm not just like one of the ones that stood out. I am the one that stood out for a good reason. Amazing. And you know, always great to see Becky have a high profile match. Moving down the card, we have LA Knight versus The Miz in a singles match with LA Knight going over. A little sloppy, but it is undeniable how
he's over as hell. That's why I can't get fully on the LA Knight train. Like, it's cool to see the pops, it's cool to see the reactions and stuff. He's a great talker, but then every time it goes to a match, it's like he's good and he's fine, you know, but like, I don't know. His style is not that exciting to watch.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's like almost a combination of The Miz and like I don't want to say a watered down Stone Cold, but
that's what everyone says.
It's
fair.
It's very close to it.
I mean, the thing that continues to be anyone pulling off a watered down Stone Cold today is super impressive. The fact that he is able to get this close to it and get that same sort of energy from the crowd. Everyone wants to do that. Everyone would die to be a watered down Stone Cold, and he's pulling it off. That's impressive. So if he can keep making this work, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, maybe he just needs the right dance partner to really properly showcase everything. But the man is able to convince me every time he talks. So I hate it. I hate it.
Yep.
You see that weird animation thing of him in high school that was going around a couple days ago? Just search Twitter for LA Knight in high school at some point. Watch to the end. It's kind of hilarious.
Okay. All right. Okay. Moving on, we have Rey Mysterio against Austin Theory for the WWE United States Championship with Rey Mysterio going over. I didn't really think much of
I
this
forgot game. This happened.
Yep.
I forgot that Ray was the United States champion.
Yeah.
I would like bigger things for Austin Theory, for all the things he's doing, but he is doing a lot of big things, I guess.
It's weird because I thought they cooled on him quite a bit when, you know, they put him with Cena. They gave him the, like, Pat McAfee and Vince stuff last year. So, and then, like, he kind of just didn't do shit for most of this year. And it's like, oh, I think they're probably, like, Grayson Waller's the shiny new toy. But then, like, I don't know. Austin was the one who got the rub with The Rock, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they need to do to Theory for me to really get behind him. I don't know. Maybe just cut his hair or something. Something. Give him a cool valet. Give him Deborah.
Hell yeah.
moving down the card, we have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship against the Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest, with the Judgment Day going over and becoming the new tag champs. It's another match. I like the Judgment Day.
Yeah. Judgment Day is like the one, like, I whenever I see them, I'm like, okay. I mean, obviously the stuff with Dominic continues to be amazing. But other than that, like, I think the whole crew is working for me. Yep. And this is fine. I mean, I never expected Kevin and Sammy to have some, like, super long run with the belts. And that wouldn't have made sense. So this is good.
I think it was tough this whole show because, like, I was kind of burnt out. Like, All In was such a big show and everything. Mm-hmm. And, like, knowing there was another one the next day and everything, I was just kind of like, I felt like I wasn't able to get super invested in the show overall, you know? And, like, so I saw people, like, raving about the tag match. And it's like, I think I was just, like, not fully invested or paying attention, you know?
Yeah. That was, unfortunately, me with a lot of this card as well.
Yeah.
But, hey, I like any time that Finn Balor has gold on him. Love Damian Priest as well.
Finn's having fun. Finn does not like being a babyface. You can tell.
I love the Judgment Day. But, yep. Bunch of Hot Topic weirdos. Next, we have a singles match for the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez, with Rhea Ripley going off. Scout, swear to God.
I was wondering if that was my dog or yours.
Rhea Ripley winning. Not the best showing for either. They did go full meat on this.
Oh, yeah. The thing with them is, Raquel has been wrestling a lot longer than Rhea, and she's also, like, you know, 6 or 7 years older, and she's been doing this for a while. And look at the stark difference just in the entrances when they come out. We talk about knowing your character and stuff. Rhea is at full blown, like, maybe the best character in wrestling. I don't know. Like, she's so fucking commanding when she comes out now. And then you've got someone who's more of a veteran and older, and Raquel coming out, like, hey, I got a bath. Look at that. You know, a smile. It's just like, there's no character there. It's hard to get invested in any Raquel stuff.
Did you skip the main event?
No, the main event.
The Grayson Waller effect?
Oh.
I'm sorry. Come on. That was the big thing on the card. That was the only thing I saw them advertise, is that Cody Rhodes was going to be on the Grayson Waller effect.
What the fuck was that about anyway? Was
I think he just
Jay
said
Uso
that
Jay thing?
Uso's going to be on Raw. Yeah. I honestly
weird thing
don't
on
know.
A pay per view.
Yes, yeah, very weird.
I'd skip it for a reason. you nailed it with Raquel, Dan. She's a fantastic performer. Just there's not a lot of character other than you smile and pose with your back a lot.
It's not really working, and like the fact that she's been like wrestling the better part of a decade and still hasn't really found it, and Rhea's like 26 and is as good as she is insane.
They should put
I hate when I remember she's 26 every time.
Yes it pains me.
Crazy
as
too
well.
Young.
They should pair Raquel Rodriguez with Gable and Otis.
Can't take Maxine's spot.
No, but have them do a tag team as well. Remember the women's tag titles, right?
Oh yeah.
God, remember?
What's the status of those right now? I haven't even thought of that.
I don't
had,
know
like,
who
lost.
Who has?
Are there champions?
Who has those?
The most cursed title lineage of all time.
Yeah, right.
American Airlines has it. It's just like lost in luggage claim or whatever.
Probably.
The Madden curse of wrestling championships.
Oh God. Next, we have the last match, maybe not the main event, but the last match of the card. Seth frickin' Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the World Heavyweight Championship, with Seth Rollins retaining. I like Shinsuke Nakamura a bunch.
Me too. I like Shinsuke a lot.
Yeah, I think they got him kind of figured out a little bit again.
Yeah, he'll knock Mura that wants to destroy your soul and make you not enjoy time with your family because you're too destroyed physically is pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's cool.
I like that they were able to make this happen in a short amount of time as well. Like, I think that speaks to whatever creative juices. It's not always going to hit. It definitely is not always going to hit. But it at least worked in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not. Was it in a way that you really ever thought Shinsuke was going to have a chance of winning this one?
No, because then, like, you kind of see, like, the writing on the walls of, like, who could take it off of Seth. And
that's the problem once you do start doing a ton of pay-per-views or premium live events a year, and it's another thing we're about with AEW. Every main event, it's like, yeah, anyone could win this. This is, like, the big match for this quarter of the year. You start having the filler pay-per-views or premium live events like this.
I think this was a main super event. Filler one, obviously, yes.
Yeah, it totally was. So,
Seth Rollins continues to be great. I know.
Seth freaking Rollins. Number one, PWI.
I was
going to
bring that
year.
Up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How great is it and wild to see The Shield take all three spots on the top 500 or the PWI top 500 wrestlers?
Where was Orange Cassidy in that list? Maybe he should have been number one.
He's top 10, I think.
Oh, good.
Maybe
enough,
I could be wrong. Yeah, it's really cool. Like when WWE decides that like somebody really like they're gonna push someone to the moon, like they really fucking do it. They did it with Cena. They did it with Roman. There are some people throughout history where they brought him in and they made him seem like they're gonna be this world beater, and then it kind of fizzles out. But you can tell when they're behind it and having like,
I mean, like Cody Rhodes.
These three dudes debut at the Survivor Series, destroy the main event and Punk and all that stuff, and make them all out to be like all timer Hall of Famers. You know, it's. Yeah, they knew with those three that they
Shield worked. Certainly did.
Definitely did.
I have the top 500 list. We'll do that at the very end if we have enough time.
Sounds good.
All right, and that was Payback. Folks, we could continue breezing through this because there's like maybe three matches I really want to talk about at All Out. The over-budget Battle Royale, Hangman Adam Page wins, donates the money to teachers. Shouts out to teachers.
It is great.
Yeah, that's fucking... I love Hangman.
Yep, I'm glad a heel didn't win. They probably would have just spent the money on strippers and beer.
I would have liked to see that, actually.
That would be a really good...
Oh.
That'd be good heat there.
Jeff, what button did you push?
Oh, I just hit something on my keyboard, and it decided this was what's going to happen. All right, there we go. Sorry.
It's KBest Mornings. What's the news, Jeff?
It's F-099. It's still very good, everybody.
All right.
Next.
I'm still challenging you to an F-Zero to Hero competition. I have the rules in my head. I'll explain them to you later.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't have the results for this, but we have Athena.
Not again! No, he's back! Oh, God! What does the sign say? What did the sign say?
What is it?
The card was good, I thought.
We had Athena, Mercedes Martinez, Diamante versus Hikaru Shida, Willow Nightingale, and Sky Blue. I don't have who won that. So I apologize. I don't remember it that well either. But we have the trio's title, the acclaimed Daddy Ass versus Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, and our best, and actually Major Mike's best friend, Jeff Jarrett, with the acclaimed winning with
That's
Dennis
right.
Rodman's
My buddy,
help.
Double J.
Double J and Double Rodman. M.
Yeah, my barbecue buddy.
It was okay. We have the ROH Tag Team Championship with MJF. And Adam Cole versus the Dark Order with MJF and Adam Cole retaining. Put Evil Uno in your goddamn video game already, AEW. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm going to plug the... Please. I'm working with Uno in Canada next month. I'm doing Mystery Wrestling 4. Yeah, it's going to be... The card's not going to be announced ahead of time. It's going to stream on Twitch. It'll be me and Uno on commentary. And we're already talking about some ideas, and it's going to be a fun show. So I'll be in Ottawa, Canada.
Let's get Uno on a UPF or something. Let's get Uno back on the site.
Let's do it before the Mystery Wrestling show, and we'll plug the hell out of it there. Yeah.
Hey, Dan, if you're looking for heat in Ottawa, when you're on the mic, like, will the audience be able to hear you?
Well, I don't think so. I think I'm not going to be like healing it up. I think I'm just there to do some
commentary. If you find a need, just say, I get why Alex DeBrincat left this town for Detroit. Just say
this
that.
Is some sports stuff.
I worked it in on commentary. Oh,
yes. Alex DeBrincat. That's all you got to say. They will fucking lose their minds. They might kill you. So,
and you said it beforehand. I need you to send that to me verbatim, and I will say it verbatim on commentary.
Okay.
You'll hear it on Twitch.
I would have stepped in, but I was making spaghetti and my leg fell asleep. So, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Next, we have the ROH World TV Championship. Samoa Joe defending against Shane Taylor and retaining. Another good Joe match. It's Samoa Joe, right?
It's Senor yes. Joe.
Next, for the TNT Championship, Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin, with Luchasaurus retaining. I think Luchasaurus. We're done. I
can't believe
it.
Luchasaurus is having a better run than Jungle Boy, artist formerly known as Jungle Boy, right now. In terms of just, you know, having a match in the real card and also not getting choked out by CM Punk.
Yeah. I feel like if Luchasaurus wasn't a dinosaur, he could slide into that Kane slot that Kane occupied for like decades.
I remember people used to say like, oh, Luchasaurus is like already like has a hard time moving, blah, blah. He's just sticking around to get Jungle Boy over because like that's actually his buddy. It's like, it does. I don't know. It seems okay. They're doing stuff with him. I mean, yeah, he's a champion right now.
Yeah. Next, my favorite match on the card, Miro versus Powerhouse Hobbs, with Miro going over and winning. This is a meaty match.
Yeah, slapping meat.
A lot of meat slapping, and then I love the part where Hobbs is beating him down, and then the music starts, and he turns and looks at the Titantron, and it just says hot and flexible. Can you imagine in kayfabe what Hobbs must be thinking? Like, who is this coming out?
Serpentico? What? I love seeing both of these men on TV. I wish they were on more. Unfortunately, I feel like we won't see them on TV for another long while because this pattern on AEW happens where someone will get really hot on a pay-per-view and then cool off immediately.
Well, if they have a hard AEW has a hard time knowing what to do with the big beefy men to a point, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, because it's like dominate for a while.
It's like a different style than what they've established themselves on, right? Like,
right.
And Lance Archer could be huge because of being a big man.
Disappeared. Yeah,
he's gone. Right, Mike.
Right, right. And like, just I don't know, just generally at the end of the day, I think the kind of wrestler that Tony Khan wants at the top is the kind of wrestler I prefer too. Is like that more? I don't know that like something from that Shawn Michaels mold, or even that Bret Hart mold, right?
Not the Ring of Honor, big, the beefy. Like late 2000s.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants Brian Danielson. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, wants a Brian Danielson, wants a Kenny Omega.
Sure.
But, you know, it is an embarrassment of riches right now where there are a lot of guys that can wrestle at an extremely high level, but, like, you can only have so many gimmicks where it's like, I'm really good at wrestling, you know? Right, like, and that's a lot of guys right now. NXT had this problem a few years ago, you know, when, like, Undisputed Era, where it's like everyone was black trunks, black boots, I'm good at wrestling. I'm
slap my thighs a lot.
Right. I mean,
that's why you need stuff like the Roderick Strong deal, where it's like, okay, yeah, he's really good at wrestling, but now he's got this definable thing. He's not just good at wrestling guy.
That's why characters who actually have real gimmicks, like an Orange Cassidy, stand out so much, too. Yeah.
Like, that's why I remember the Hurricane more than I will ever remember Shane Helms.
What about three count Shane Helms?
Oh, well, that's a close second.
Okay.
Gregory Helms. I remember that was like the most atrocious, like everybody has to have a voice clip in front of their song, was when he was Gregory Helms, right? And just for no reason at the beginning of his intro music, it was just him saying the words Gregory Helms.
Yep.
And
his they song still clip. Do that where it's like Sammy Guevara, Powerhouse Hobbs.
Okay. I know who these people are.
I want more for both of these men, but I feel like this, it's happened with Lance Archer, it's happened with Wardlow. AEW doesn't know what
it'll happen to you too.
It'll happen to you.
They don't know what to do with the big meat. But moving on, TBS Championship, Chris Statlander defending and retaining against Ruby Soho.
Ruby sure does lose a lot of matches, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
I
kind of
miss.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jim.
No. Go ahead.
No, Chris is doing great. I love Chris Statlander. Talking about strong gimmicks, I kind of miss when it was literally like, I am an alien from outer space.
Yeah.
I don't know how to
Jim
talk.
Ross being pissy about it. So you're telling me she's a space alien? Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Jim Ross.
Yes, Jim.
We're paying you good money to go along with this. Could you please?
And Jim, how long have you been doing this?
It's like, I don't even know what the legal man is. Yes, we know.
Yeah, no one does. There was like a slap exchange. There was like a chop exchange at one point in one of the shows. He's like, I never understood why they do this.
I just want a web comic of like Jim Ross's like thoughts to himself during a match.
It's like, you don't need to say it all, Jim.
Are you going to start complaining about people bouncing off the ropes now? You know they could just stop themselves if they wanted to.
He continued running after he threw him into the turnbuckle.
Like, why remember that early AEW pay-per-view where if you like subscribe to Fight or something, you could see, or no, it was like Dynamite. If you're watching it on Fight or a VPN or something, you could see and hear during the commercials.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
were bringing out a couple like models or something when like Kenny was doing this cleaner thing or whatever. Just Jim Ross, end of the mic, like, oh God, what do we got? Oh, look at this. Oh gee. Like just being the horniest guy ever.
Oh,
who
my
still
God.
Doesn't know that Twitter likes are public.
Those, oh, his oh. reach. Oh. Forget about the likes, his retweets.
Hold
on. There's like, there's that one account. It's called WWE Porn is the name of the account. And
well,
he just retweets
listen,
from it constantly.
Like, get mad what? About who's following that.
What's yeah.
Is that where you got your Jade Cargill picture?
It's a fine resource for information on the internet
Twitter?
About wrestling.
I can't just
like Jim Ross.
JRSBBQ.
Yeah, BBQ's in there. Got to buy his stadium main event mustard. That's it.
Oh, wow. Hey, number two here is, oh, look at that. That's a nice dress that she's wearing.
Looking at his likes now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at JR's likes, yes.
Latest one.
Hey, get it, JR. I don't blame him.
Sauce.
What the hell?
Next is a picture and a link of SoCal Val's OnlyFans.
Yep.
Yes,
great, it is.
Great. Oh, SoCal Val's an OnlyFans. Oh.
See? News
like
you can use.
I miss SoCal Val. She was, yeah, I like SoCal Val.
Looks like he's liking like every Tori Wilson tweet.
Yes. God. And then someone that had a bumper sticker that says "God bless John Wayne." Okay,
of course. Oh my God, is that the most? Damn it, that's the most predictable Jim Ross thing ever. It's like, I really like John Wayne. Probably has a lot of Duke stuff. Calls him the Duke.
We're in Beyond the Mat where they're interviewing him in his office, and he has a giant cardboard cutout of John Wayne behind him the whole time.
Jesus, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
He likes a lot of Anna Jay stuff too, as well.
Oh, he's liking Ruby Soho. In her underwear here. That's you work with her. You can't do that, JR.
Likes a lot of Sheeta stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
What if? Oh, okay. Boy. I just want to wind up on his likes. I'm just gonna start. Just gonna buy barbecue
just post
sauce.
Pictures of
I did
you in your underwear and with barbecue sauce.
I did
think
pander to JR on Twitter one time to get a response. I think I was going to the Royal Rumble in St. Louis, and like I did like jokingly kind of buy some of his jerky. On a trip, so just on the trip there, I was like, oh yeah, eating JR's jerky on the way to Royal Rumble, it's good. He responds like, yeah, have fun. I was like, yeah, we got him, boys. All right.
I tried to get Stephanie McMahon to like a tweet once, and it totally worked. I like added her like 10 years ago, and the network was starting, and they had that kid show called WWE Slam City, or it might have been a YouTube show, and I just tweeted at Stephanie McMahon like, I love WWE Slam City, and you know who loves it more? My triplet daughters. Like, I've got triplet 6-year-old daughters, and they can't get enough Slam City, and Stephanie might have retweeted it. I can't remember.
So you just lied.
Yeah, he worked her. Yeah.
I'm going to take the same photo that he just liked and tweet, I love Jared's barbecue products.
Okay. I'm excited right. about this. I was playing headbands, and like someone's, you know, headbands, you have like a name of something on your forehead. Yeah. You have to guess what it is.
Sure.
And the category was TV show. And like somebody's mom picked soap for somebody. And all of us are like, what the hell is that? You can't do that. Nobody will know what it is. She's like, oh, everyone knows soap. Everyone remembers soap. We're like, is this some old show? They're like, yeah, it's not that old. Yeah, it's some ancient show. And of course, Jim Ross likes something from a nostalgia channel for soap. I'm like, okay, absolutely an old person show.
Yes.
Validation.
Jim, can you make a bad Photoshop of you using JR's barbecue sauce and tweet that and be like, ah, I'm loving this at the BBQ and see if he likes it?
I was a step ahead of you, Dad.
Had that same, like,
guys,
yeah, definitely just do
if we,
that.
If we really want a wrestling personality to like retweet us or like us, we just have to say a slightly positive thing about Chris Jericho without even tagging him. Like, that's all it takes.
Specifically, yeah.
Or pay Ric Flair.
More pay Ric Flair.
Okay, all right. We got a couple more
World
matches on this card.
Wrestling Goddesses JR? Okay, new account I just found. All right.
Brian Danielson versus Ricky Starks, an absolute banger of a match.
That was good.
Brian Danielson coming, like, what, a month, 2 months ahead of projected return?
He protected himself really well. He's not seen him throw a bunch of right arm punches in that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks, man, like, that's...
The star?
Absolute star. The actual pillar and not Jungle Boy.
Killers.
But yeah, it's a great Danielson match. I feel like putting Starks with him, fucking rocket ship, right? I just don't know how you stick the landing with Starks afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it is commendable that they did that with like no real build. You know, it was supposed to be Punk, and they just had to kind of hot shot it into Danielson, and like turns out he's just magic and makes everything work.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Danielson is just like the much better Punk, less problematic, actually also a better wrestler. Maybe not quite as good in the mic. I'll take it, whatever.
Sure.
He's good on the mic. I like him on the mic. Remember when he had the like the world's champion or the planet's champion run, the fickle stuff and all that? He was so fucking fickle, hilarious. Yeah. When he called out Vince for being a billionaire and destroying the planet, like to his face, like just that's awesome.
Well, that's because that's the, I think it's all like real for him. Like it comes from a place of realness, and that's where he's really good on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see what is next on the card here. Eddie Kingston and Shibata versus the Blackpool Combat Club.
Shibata.
I don't remember this one.
I'm always happy to see Eddie on TV. So I'm like excited about that. And then I tuned out of the match. I was kind of watching the PAX a little bit and I tuned out.
Then we have Kenny Omega versus Takeshita, with Takeshita going over. Dan, you said it earlier in the app, Takeshita, absolute fucking star.
So good.
Put a title on this man. Have him like.
Look at how young he is, because I think he's 28.
Oh, that makes me feel. Wow. That makes my tummy hurt.
Older than Rhea Ripley, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd call both mommy. FTR and the Bucks versus Bullet Club Gold, with Bullet Club Gold going over. This is another match I kind of tuned out of.
It's that big. FTR is big on this. Bucks are big on this. The super contrived like tag spots where it's like we all decided to do sharpshooters, and it's like
sure.
I'm not it's like the PWG Jim Cornette style. About, like, it seem real, but it's just like I don't know. It just seems kind of corny to me.
Yeah. It's very it's kind of indie-rific and it's very PWG. I still like that stuff a good bit. That stuff's always very fun in person. It's all definitely contrived and silly, but I can get into it.
Yeah, speaking of that, reminds me, I think maybe my controversial take on wrestling of recent years is, remember when everyone was super duper hot on the DIY stuff, Gargano and Ciampa?
Oh, yeah.
And the story that came out of it.
Oh, you didn't like people kicking out each other's finishers over and over?
It was just the whole thing. I just didn't get into the characters. I didn't get into the
how dare you. Gargano's from my area. I saw Johnny Gargano wrestle in an Austin Town bingo hall. This is an attack
with
on
a box
me.
Of scraps.
With a box of scraps. He wore a Darkwing Duck shirt. I was like, I like that because I like Darkwing Duck.
If you guys ever need to pander to Mike, definitely Darkwing Duck.
Yes.
I was doing a pre-interview with him before he came on a WWE podcast, and I was trying to like, because I know he's into games and stuff, and I was trying to see like, oh, okay, can Corey ask you about this and that, about games or whatever? He's like, you know, I like games a lot, but I'm definitely more of a nerd about like Disney.
Oh, yeah. Let's fucking go.
He's your dude.
That's my Candace, dude.
They love it. Yeah.
I liked when Ciampa in NXT was insane. I preferred that versus being paired with Gargano. But I did like DIY.
That's always such a go-to gimmick for wrestlers. Like, what if you're just crazy?
But I liked him coming out with no music, as someone pointed out in chat. All right. And then fucking at the actual match of the night, gentlemen, for the international championship. Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley, with Jon Moxley winning and taking the international championship. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, yep. Cassidy. So, I mean, Jon Moxley also incredible. Orange Cassidy with this run, like with this such a goofy gimmick, but just having such a legitimate run, making this belt, which had to be like renamed because it was kind of so like of an app, much
lost.
Of an afterthought. And now it's like much more important than the TNT title at this point, right? Like this is
single-handedly, like one performer single-handedly raises the profile of a belt, makes it matter. And then if you're going to lose it to someone like Moxley, who is extremely legitimate. And like, it's like, I mean, he's doing God's work there. Like Orange Cassidy is one of the best in the world.
He's the face of AEW to me. He's the thing that makes the whole thing work. And it has been for a long time, but now that to see him be able to like manifest this, the value of a belt like that, it's like, okay, clearly he's going to be someone they're going to rely on forever.
He's been in AEW from the beginning. He had the type of gimmick they would never let fly in WWE. Mm-mm. He is like, you know, they used to talk about on SNL back in the day, they would call Phil Hartman the glue, because it's like you could just, he was the glue of the cast. You know, you could put him in any situation, you know, he's going to kill it. I feel like Cassidy is kind of the glue of AEW for me.
Right. Yeah. For a while, he worked just as a comedy bit, Like, the other people would wrestle, you would just show up, and that was great. You didn't even wrestle forever. And when you wrestled, well, that's great, too. Now, well, how about a main eventer? Oh, that also works somehow.
Yeah, it's like, imagine in, like, 2 years of Danhausen was main eventing a pay-per-view. Yeah, right. It's like, they pulled it off with Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
They really did pull it off with Orange, and then, like, I feel like where AEW kind of screwed up pushing Adam Page to the top, because, you know, they took the title off and put on Punk, they've done Orange Cassidy right. And I know a lot of folks were upset that he lost. Like, you're going to lose to anyone? John Moxley?
Exactly.
The story here is that, you know, and Orange Cassidy was getting beaten down, right? Like, he had this rigorous schedule he's putting himself. He was defending against all comers, and it was just eventually going to catch up to him. He had that great line about his bag feeling a little heavier. Even the build up to this was great. Orange Cassidy actually doing a fiery promo, but still ending with, like, I'm Orange Cassidy and I don't have a catchphrase. Moxley doing his promo, really putting over Orange Cassidy in it as this legitimate threat.
Yep.
Just everything about this was fantastic.
I like to think it was the time that I managed him on the indies that he probably remembered some advice I gave him. And
clearly,
lessons were
learned.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, learnings. I think with you, Dan, we can call it learnings is what happened.
Yes.
There.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Geez. Yeah. And all of this post all of the CM Punk drama, right? Like the roster showing like, no, we don't need him.
Yeah.
This whole pay-per-view was like, I mean, even the stage had like the, you know, the real like, AEW stages often aren't that decorated. This thing like went really heavy on the Chicago, and it just kind of like screamed like this was done for Punk, and he's not even at this show. And everybody thought this pay-per-view would be an afterthought, and yeah, it was actually really good. A lot of people liked it even more than All Out.
Yeah, I hope that they can continue this momentum, right? Like, Orange Cassidy's great, John Moxley's great, Danielson is great.
AEW is very inconsistent in a way that makes it exciting to watch, because sometimes things will pop up and really surprise you. But also there's just like periods where it's like, none of this shit's working. And then periods where it's like, holy shit, they've caught fire with this angle. And then like everyone feels motivated. And it's a fascinating product to watch. You know, WWE is like hums at a consistent, let's say 7.5 to 9, I would say these days. AEW, I feel like, has these wide swings from like 4 to, you know, 9.5, you know, like they can, the highs are high, the lows are low, but it's always interesting. Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm going to get every time I watch a Dynamite. So
yeah, I mean, clearly a huge roster, and huge. I think Tony Khan gets distracted pretty easily by that. But I think if he begin, I mean, he kind of can't do this. But if he could find a way to rely more on these ones that are bankable stars that have always delivered, like Orange Cassidy and John Moxley and Daniel Bryanson, Bryan Danielson, excuse me. He maybe can find the consistency, and yet the lack of consistency is not stopping me from watching these things. I do still show up, and I do still want to see what's going on with AEW. But I suppose, like, if they could get more consistent, that would only increase.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like they may have a more focused effort happening post-Punk. I feel like they kind of have to. Real quick, boys, let's go talk about the top 10 of the PWI 500. Number 10. And keep in mind, folks that don't know, the top 500 PWI list is all in kayfabe. So
it's not all in kayfabe. It's like kind of a mixture of kayfabe and.
I thought they had two lists, right?
No, it's one list, but it's like kind of a bit of both, is my understanding, but I don't know.
Number 10, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Number 9.
Although it feels like sliding a little bit, and now I do really wonder, like. So what is going to, is he actually going to be able to win a world championship here anytime soon? Like, what's actually going on with that?
Yeah. I don't know.
We missed our shot there.
I don't think so. It's still possible.
He's very popular. The Brock stuff was overall a success, I would say. Like they have
not. He'll probably
they got what
fine.
They want out of that.
They know that Cody's going to stay versus Dwayne is going to leave eventually again. Right. If these strikes do get resolved.
Well, they
I swear to God, if Rock beats Roman, if this whole fucking 3-4 year thing is building up to
imagine?
The Rock beating him and then dropping
the Rock
it in his next match.
When he was champion for like 2 years, I know,
but like, this is like a much longer, much bigger thing. Punk's title run was an afterthought. It never even made him into the paper.
Right.
You know?
Right. Freaking John Cena versus Johnny Ace made a vetted over him that one time.
Yep.
I'm still upset about that.
That was very stupid.
Number 9, Josh Alexander.
I haven't seen a lot of
big impact guy. Steady hand over there. He kind of takes that same slot as like Nick Aldis, where I hear great things about you. I've never really seen you.
Yep, yep, same.
Number 8, Orange Cassidy. Well deserved.
Too low.
That's well, awesome. I'm happy that he's in the top 10 at least.
I'm happy he's in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Too low.
He's above Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's better than Cody Rhodes right now. He's better than anybody, I think.
You know what? I agree with you, Mike, because next, number 7, Kazuchika Okada. I feel like Orange Cassidy's had a better year than Okada.
Yeah, well, I mean, Okada's always going to be cursed by having that incredible run a few years ago, right, when he was still very young, and it was just so good, and he was so young. And, you know, of course, he has to keep wrestling. He's got to keep having a career. Yeah. It's been hard to you can match maybe even, again, like the quality of that run, but the excitement of that is hard to get back to.
Also, just like who is going against him in New Japan now, right? Like what feuds?
Naito a lot. So, you know, like you got Sonata now. He's finally had, you know, a run. So they're trying to get some younger blood there. They had Shingo going for a bit.
Number 6, MJF.
Yeah, he's been champion for a long time. You know, even if the storylines weren't always great, his matches are generally good. And I'm glad we finally have the character shift. And I'm glad it's a character shift that actually lets him wrestle more. Like, MJF is a special attraction. I never really understood that point of it, aside from the whole he's a chicken shit heel who wants to work as little as possible. Sure.
Number 5, Dan, I think you saw this person wrestle recently in person. Vikingo.
I did. I saw him at the Mall of America a couple weekends ago, and he's very good at wrestling.
Yes.
Holy Jesus shit. Boy. I was like in the second or third row ringside, and seeing all that is just mind-boggling.
Right. And whenever he shows up in AEW, it's always very, very fun.
They should just start giving him stem cells right now. Just
start. Just inject stem cells. Gas him with stem cells.
Sleep in that shit.
Slurp him up.
Just hold Rey Mysterio's hand. You'll just absorb it. Number 4, Gunther.
Oh,
that's
sure.
That's how you pull off a big man.
Dude, without a doubt.
Yes.
And now
Orange Cassidy's like right there for me. I agree with Mike, but I think Gunther's my favorite right now.
He's doing very good.
Everything he does.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he is now the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion.
Whoa, the disrespect to the honky tonk man here. Wow.
I'm okay with disrespecting the honky tonk man. I'm okay with that.
Underrated was when Santino won the Intercontinental title, and every time he came out to wrestle, he would talk about how he was going to beat Honky Tonk Man's record. And in the corner of the screen, he had the honkameter, which was showing how many days he had been champ. I just like saying honkameter a lot.
Yeah. That's your drinking buddy, though, Dan, the honky tonk man. Come on.
How do you remember that?
I remember the things that you tell me, unlike the other way around, apparently.
It's not as you. I don't remember anything.
All right. And to round out the top 3 here, at 3, we have Jon Moxley, number 2, Roman Reigns, and number 1, Seth frickin' Rollins. The Shield is on top. The Shield has been amazing since the very get-go, since that debut, and it's wild to see all 3 men on top of this industry.
I'm pretty sure they've all been number 1 at different points, too.
I think so, probably, right?
Yeah. Seth is such a fucking workhorse. How is he somehow like Sean and Brett at the same time?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
Sean,
really,
like,
he's
Brett,
so fucking good.
And then, like, his whatever the fuck he's choosing to wear on a week-to-week basis is
Mega
hilarious.
Mega Man boots and shit.
He really does have, he has it all. Just everything.
The
works
schedule.
For Seth Rollins.
Well, even like the Nakamura story playing off of that about how he's just like for so many years he's carried the company. Like he is always that workhorse. You know, Roman's a special attraction now. Seth, night in, night out, house shows. He is fucking going out there and killing it. Like,
yeah.
He is one of the absolute greatest of all time.
Roman Reigns has been able to turn around being pushed down our mouths to being like a like one of the best storylines in the past however many years.
I thought you were talking about getting shoved down our throats like recently with the kind of like post jumping the shark of the bloodline thing. Like, I don't think
we're in the fourth inning, right? I thought, right?
What's that?
We're in the fourth inning of this storyline or something.
Third inning. Bottom of the third.
Bottom of the third. Worse than I thought.
Yeah. They need to just get
to this stuff. It's great.
They need to get to the Cody part of the story now. I don't know.
To the fireworks factory.
Finish the story. Yes. When are they going to get to the fireworks factory? Oh. I just love when he cries after saying that. That's what really makes that scene.
And then, you know, Jon Moxley, we've said it. Jon Moxley's so good. Fucking absolutely amazing.
That was the biggest red flag with Punk was when he had a problem with Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
It's like, what was the problem with Jon Moxley?
Punk has had problems backstage with people. I won't say publicly because told me, but like people that no one have problems with, people that are just saints backstage, and he's been complete assholes to. It is
weird.
I mean, boy, you know, what is that saying or whatever? It's like, you know,
you walk around all day and everyone around you is an asshole. You're the asshole.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's him.
It's the biggest bummer as someone that absolutely adored CM Punk.
I mean, yeah, at least you're not so like cool. In denial like so many of these fans
like
that
Mike.
Are on some.
Yep.
Well, but Mike, like a lot of them clearly. Did get over it. Like I was worried like All Out would just be nothing but obnoxious CM Punk chants, right?
It was.
I think
not.
A lot of people like screw if he shows up in WWE, that will still get a big pop. We'll see how long that lasts. Yeah. But I think a lot of people are finally over it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to get like CM Punk chants in AEW the way we got. For years in WWE after he left there.
No, I think like it is penetrated the mainstream that he's a bit of a tool.
It's weird that there are still people like in AEW are like doing like their tributes to him, like, you know, like you still get that from those people who were his guys.
FTR,
I just don't know what else CM Punk
starts,
has to do.
Right,
yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah.
I just don't know what else you have to do for people to be like, I don't know.
All right, folks, that was a lengthy power bomb cast. Thank you to Nikki for joining us for a good chunk of this. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Major Mitch. Thank you, Dan.
Major Mitch. Reporting for duty, Major Mitch.
Thank you, Jeff.
God, what is it? What are you doing? What game is this?
We're only
playing?
Talking about wrestling right now.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Major?
Major. This has been the Power Bombcast. We'll see you, I don't know, when Survivor Series, maybe?
What's I mean... Wrestling is very hard to predict right now, and some crazy shit might happen in a week or a month or 2 months. Like,
yes,
we'll be here to talk when
maybe we should check in. The surface.
Maybe we should check in on Daddy Dan Reichert over in AEW Fight Forever someday again.
Oh, yeah.
We should finish our story.
Finish the story.
That's right. Evil Uno, number one on PWI.
Yes.
Going forward.
And in our hearts.
Of course.
Can't. Oh, man. Yeah. I may or may not be accompanying Bailey to her first wrestling event. AEW Full Gear. Bailey has never seen any wrestling.
We got to hear her take on that.
She will have a good time.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Knows nothing about wrestling.
Awesome. She had so much fun doing that.
We've seen her play trivia. She knows everything. So, like, yeah, she's good.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Power Bombcast. Who the heck knows when we'll see you have another one of these? We'll see you next time. Shouts out to
Major.
Grant.